Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back, Eurobash episode 51. A little bit of a different setup today. I'm here in beautiful, sunny, beautiful, amazing, dark, dreary, unbelievably rainy Dublin. And Peter Carl is all the way across the water in Abu Dhabi. PT Miel Flower. I said I'd start off the show today because you're overseas of shite audio. We thought originally you were going on Tuesday, but you messed it up somehow. Fill the listeners in, why?
I don't know how I did it, okay? I don't have a clue. I was moving out of my apartment at the weekend, so I think I just decided I was going on Tuesday, and then on Sunday night, I still had lots of stuff to move out of the apartment, and I just said, oh, I better check my phone and see what time this flight is going out on Tuesday. Turns out it's going out on Monday. Up all night, running around like a lunatic, then straight on a plane. But thank you, Niall, for somehow being able to record this today, because
I'm a tech genius, PT.
Yeah, but yeah, it's very warm over here, man. I think I'm going to be coming back with third degree burns.
Poor you, man. We've the heat on here. It's got that cold today. Seriously, Jesus, I'm not even joking. It's freezing out, like rain and pissing feckin' rain all day. Fucking stop moaning. Enjoy it.
It seems to be a bit of a buzz over here because this showdown week where they're trying to put Abu Dhabi on the map or whatever. But I was surprised to see Wonder Boy being absolutely mobbed in the Abu Dhabi airport. Like, he was surrounded by people. He's probably on like a 16-hour flight over here. And then he's just being the nicest guy in the world as people like queue up to take pictures with him. I was like, oh, hey, shit, man. Oh, I hate that guy.
Hey, baby. This is amazing, so baby. Cool. This is great, baby.
Of course you can have a picture. I think I'm like, oh, my God, there's about 50 people queuing up here.
But I think it's going to be interesting. You're obviously going to get a good gauge now this week to actually how popular the sport is over there. And, you know, obviously I don't think we've seen an event in Abu Dhabi since. Is it BJ Penn and that card with Anderson Silva as well? I think it's, what's that, 2010 or something? Frankie Edgar fight?
There was another one. There was Big Country and Nogueira that he fought here in 2014. But since then, and this is like, obviously, UFC have signed a five-fight event deal or a five-year deal or something to that effect. I heard Khabib saying that it was him. You know, it's because of him that they're doing this. So, obviously, he's going to be huge over here. I can't wait to see just how the fans are going to react to him and stuff. But I even saw Shamil, who's fighting Curtis Blaydes, hulking out there in the elevator before I came to record this. So I tried to have a conversation with him, but the language barrier was a bit too much. I'm seeing loads of people. I saw Toysimov. I've seen Claudia Gadelha. I must be in the fighter hotel if I'm seeing this many people. But it's going to be a very different one, I'd say, to be honest.
Yeah, but, I can't wait for it, man. I'm really excited about the co-main and main.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the card, let's be honest, the card does take a big drop off after the main and co-main, but we'll have to see, really. I think it's one of them ones where I'm going to wait to see what happens, and then I'll pass judgment, because we've been talking about it for weeks. The card isn't overly stacked. It's just very top heavy. But will I run through the latest?
Yeah, let's get to it. Well, I said that. Yeah, I was about to say that. You get onto the news, baby.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. Darren Till v. Kelvin Gastelum is a go, according to Dana White. He confirmed that is happening in Madison Square Garden. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Jack Shaw has had his first UFC opponent announced. It's Nolan Hernandez, who he's going to take on UFC Copenhagen. That's a date me and Niall thought he would get slotted into, and that has come to fruition. Phil DeFries has got a replacement opponent for his KSW 50 title defense. This time he's going to be taking on Luis Enrique instead of his original opponent, Damian Grabowski. Norman Park also has a new opponent. He's going to be taking on Marcin Wozik instead of Marian Zielkowski. James Webb and Natoyas Frederick are going to go at it again in November in London. They had that controversial fight at Cage Warriors 106, Night of Champions. I think there's going to be a big appetite for that fight in London. And I know that Natoyas wanted this in Birmingham, James wanted it in London, but I think the injury Webb sustained to his neck through that pile driver kind of ruled him out of the Birmingham show. So then the other big news of the week was Cage Warriors returning to Ireland. So Woo-hoo! Why don't we take that one and drift it into the old talking points here. That is quite considerable, Noel, because we've been saying, it's only really Bellator and Cage Legacy putting on events over here. So that's a big deal that Cage Warriors are coming back, right?
Yeah, it's a massive deal, man. I think we've said it. And you know, the one thing I'm sort of intrigued to maybe find out if we can get any answers of him and stuff like that as to why and how Cage Warriors are back. And you know, is this in accordance with him and Safe MMA and all that? There's obviously details that we haven't learned on that yet. So I'm really interested to know why it's happening after such a long stint of us really just having Bellator in Dublin. Obviously, it's hard to get answers off the guys to the actual intricate details of how shows get put on here. So I'm interested to find that. But I think it's great for the sport. I think Reese McKee's already come out and said that he's definitely down for fighting in Neptune Stadium in Cork, and I think that would be a good way to sort of maybe look at it, even maybe put Reese in a co-main event slot and get some motor right behind Reese.
He's right up in that main event territory, it has to be said. Like, to consider his next fight, what would it be for, the weight that's going to be on that fight, I think he's well in there with a main event slot, unless Cage Warriors have something up their sleeve. But I mean, we have lots of great Irish fighters represented there on the Cage Warriors roster. Definitely. McColgan, you know, you have Darren O'Gorman, you have Ian Gary, James Sheehan.
Paul Hughes might get signed up for a fight there. I'd love to see that happen. It'd be great.
That'd be great. Like, I mean, I'm sure I'm forgetting some people, but, you know, James Webb could be a headline over here, for God's sake. It is in November, though, and he's going to be fighting in November. So
you obviously broke the news, PT. Did you hear anything about the sort of intricate details?
No. I think, but I do think they wouldn't have announced it unless it was backed by IMA. There would be absolutely no point in. I don't think you'd even be able to book a venue without IMA giving it the all clear. So I just think it's one of those things where if it comes together, it can be handy. I know Cage Warriors are always in with Safe MMA, they're getting the scans done, etc. So logistically, it's not a big shove to get them put on a card in Ireland, whereas maybe other promotions that come across who don't have such stringent kind of medical practice in place, they can find it a bit more difficult. But even the UFC would find it difficult coming into this terrain at the moment, I'd imagine.
I'm loving it, though. I think it's great for the sport. Badly needed to have some sort of competitive rivalries amongst these promotions, and you know, it's more fights, more pro fights for the guys who can't get matched. Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Graham Boylan put out that comment as well. It seems to be a big commitment to Irish fighters.
Yeah.
But moving on from Cage Warriors Ireland, I wanted to talk a bit more about Darren Till v. Kelvin Gastelum. Dana White has said the reason why this fight has been made is because Darren Till wanted it.
Yeah, it's bullshit, man. I don't really know what the UFC are doing here. We said a number of weeks ago that was the fight that was rumoured, and it's obviously come to fruition now. You know, you slow down the guy. You don't throw him straight into the best fecking, one of the best divisions in the world, and give him a guy who's literally coming off an interim title fight against Israel Adesanya, and a guy who's, you know, we've seen how impressively he's dealt with some of the bigger names in that division. Michael Bisping, obviously, to name but a few. I think it's absolutely crazy for the UFC and Dana White to say that. He's a guy that has such star potential that you could market so much better. You could easily deny him that fight if you had any sort of interest in pushing this guy further into the fucking market. I can't understand it, man. Sometimes I just don't know what Dana's on, man. I really don't. I think Darren, as I said, should have had a guy that's in the top, between top 10 and 15.
Uriah Hall, I said weeks ago, perfect, I think.
Anderson Silva, if he was fit, or someone like that.
Yeah. But the one thing I think is kind of funny about this is, of course Darren Till wants to fight the best guy there. Darren Till's a fighter. Darren Till's a young fighter with a chip on his shoulder that wants to go out and prove everybody wrong. But, you know, as a promoter, you should be trying to protect your talent.
Exactly.
We've talked about this ad nauseum. this is the first guy, like the guy that sold out the O2 in London quicker than anyone else, like any of these other UK draws they've ever had. He's the guy doing it. He's commanding huge interest. And when you have him on a two-fight skid, it's up to the promoter then to rebuild him.
Exactly.
And I think this is a harder fight than Jorge Masvidal.
It's a hard, I totally agree with you. Like, look, like it's a total sort of, what, lopsided.
Out of the furnace and into the fire.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And I just look at this and I go, listen, UFC, did you not learn from what happened in your initial push with Darren Till? You know, Darren wasn't even that confident going into that Woodley fight. I spoke to him a few days before that was announced and he felt as though he didn't even deserve that shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dana needs to, you know, sit back here and assess what he's going to do with Darren Till. And, you know, I don't really know if he really believes in Darren Till after matching him up with Kelvin Gastelum and so easily him giving him that fight as well. It's bananas to me, and it's just the UFC all over. Marketing rubbish.
I mean, what about that for a reason as well? Like, I mean, how many fighters have been calling out different fighters for years and years and they don't get the
fight?
Like,
we just give it to Darren, and then other fights like feckin' Tony Ferguson, 12-fight win streak, begging for a title shot for God knows how long, and the guy can't even get a fucking fight. Like,
unless, like, I mean, Kelvin is in some terrible, terrible way that we don't know about after the Stylebender fight, and Dana think this is a good way to get Darren back on top, but
that's
complete bullshit for me, by the way. But I'm just saying. I'm over here at UFC 242. We're gonna have lots of coverage on MMA fighting all week. From over here, but we decided to take a look at the Bellator featherweights that are competing this weekend, because there is some European draws there in that tournament, and we think that's a big deal. We think it's good to have the Europeans represented there. So we'll kick on with our first interview of the day. It's with Pedro Carvalho, who takes on Sam Cecilia this weekend. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes. And now you have been asking for him to come back, and he has granted us that wish. It is Pedro Carvalho, who takes on Sam Cecilia this weekend at Bellator 226 in the first round of that featherweight Grand Prix. Pedro, all the way from California, how are you and how long have you been out in that neck of the woods?
What's up, B? Those things. Thank you for having me here again. And I've been in California since last Saturday. So almost about a week already here, you know. So it's been a great time so far.
Yes. And I must ask you, like, how good was it to get what you asked for? Like, you made no bones about it. You wanted to be in that featherweight Grand Prix. How good was it to find out that you would be in there?
First, I felt it was deserved. Yes. And because I totally deserved to be on that tournament. And, like, to be honest, you know, I just didn't was able to speak to anyone about it. But on that same night, I got a confirmation that I was on the tournament, you know, on the fight on Birmingham. On that same night, I got a confirmation. Like, unfortunately, I couldn't give that kind of information to anyone. but I already knew for quite some long that I was on the tournament. And that was it, you know. I wasn't amazed or surprised. I would be surprised if I wasn't on it, you know. Yes. That would surprise me, because, like, for my journey so far inside Bellator, I think I'm not gonna say that I'm the most deserved it, but I'm one of the most deserved guy to be on it, you know, because the names that I faced on the occasions that I faced them is like, and the way that I beat them. So I think there's no doubt about it that I deserve to be on it, and that's how I feel about it. That's the only feel that about it, you know, and happy, because I know that in less than a year time I will have four bodies to beat. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Yes, and you know, Scott Coker, when he revealed the bracket, he said that all of you guys just basically found out you were in the tournament. He didn't tell you who you would be facing. Now, we know that you're going to face Sam Cecilia this weekend, but would he have been your first choice for a guy to fight in the first round of this tournament?
To be honest, like, any one of the guys would be my choice. Actually, like, if I could pick, I would pick the champion. You know, so I could start the tournament as champion, you know. What better way to start the tournament?
That is a confident man I'm talking to right now.
No, he's not a confident man. It is what it is, you know. I'm just being me, you know. I never was any different of it. I know what I'm capable of. I know. Like, I train to be the best in the world. I believe that I'm the best in the world. So, like I've said before, a guy that believes that he's the best in the world, he cannot have problems to fight anyone in his division or in the world, you know. Because if he believes that he's the best in the world, he believes that he's best at any one of the guys. So if he believes that he's the best at any one of the guys, he cannot have problems to face anyone. So I have absolutely no problem to face any one of the other 15s, you know.
Yes.
So, but talking about personally about this fight, like I'm pretty happy because I know like Sam is a really experienced guy, you know. He's a UFC vet, he's a warrior, you know, he's a fighter. And I respect that, you know. I really respect guys like him, you know, that just go out there and put everything on the line. But stylistically, I think it's a really good matchup for me. And like I've said before, him and all the other guys on the tournament, they're going to face a pressure that they never seen before. They're going to see someone in their faces constantly, like they've never seen before, and they're all going to crumble. They're all going to crumble with that pressure.
It's interesting. You comment there on Cecilia being a good matchup. That was one of the big things I could see online. When this was revealed, I saw a lot of your teammates, a lot of Irish fans in general, just saying they really liked the style matchup there for you and Sam Cecilia. And they also were commenting on the fact that this will be a big introduction for you in the US. I mean, we know what you're capable of. We've seen what you've done over here. But it feels like this is an even bigger, a new milestone with you going across to the US here and being a part of this Featherweight Grand Prix.
Yeah, absolutely. But any one of the other 15 will be a great opportunity for me to start high with a high performance, you know. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really good opportunity, and it's gonna be good for me, and it's gonna be good for the fans gonna be watching.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the champion. I mean, a lot of big names in this bracket. Like, is there anyone there that you imagine will be there at the end? I know that's where you want to be, but is there anyone you can see going the distance here when you look at the way the matchups have fallen?
Like who's going to be in the final?
Yes.
I don't know. I will say if Patricky doesn't get me on the quarterfinals or semifinals, I would say Patricky Pitbull has a pretty good chances, because man, he is a beast. He is a proven champion. You know, he's not some guy that pull up names and won a belt. He's a proven champion, you know, and he proves that he is really, really good. So I truly believe he has probably chances to be on the final. I think he's probably the best name to.
I was wondering, you know, I spoke to John Kavanagh about you recently, and he was kind of saying, look, the thing about Pedro is the big advantage he has is he's coming in, he's floating under the radar. Some of the bigger names there, people are expecting big things from them, but he gets to go in. Maybe a lot of the US audience don't really know you, and you get in to go in there and spoil the party a lot. Do you think it works to your favor that maybe some of the US audience haven't heard of you just yet?
I don't know. I never really thought about it. But yeah, it can be. But I think after this match, after I beat Sam Cecilia, there will be nothing of that. Everyone will know who I am after I beat Sam Cecilia. Everyone will have their eyes on me after I beat Sam Cecilia. You know, so I think if there's an advantage factor for me, I think there will be no more. I will have no more that effect after Sam Cecilia's fight.
You know, you're coming into this fight on the back of two really, really quick wins over Luca Vitali and Derek Campos. Like, I mean, can you see Cecilia being a bit more difficult in that regard. This guy has been around the game for a long time. Do you see any reason that maybe he will be a tougher guy to put away?
I mean, all of them are tough, you know. We are talking about the highest level of MMA, you know. We are talking about the best fighters in the world, so all of them are tough. The thing is, like, I see Sam Cecilia stylistically really, really, really similar as Derek Campos. So I'm expecting a kind of a similar fight as I had with Campos. The thing that I know that I have to look for is power. You know, he's a powerful guy, but at the same time, he's a guy that he burns himself. He burns himself pretty fast, and I have gas to fight all day. So I know on the first minutes I just have to be patient, set up my time, and then I'll just gonna pull my pressure and it's gonna be all about him. If he can take the shots, maybe he can get to the second round or even maybe to the decision. You know, it's gonna be all about how much damage can he take, and that's gonna be for him and for any one of the guys. This is gonna be the history. The story of the fights with all the other guys is going to be all about how much damage can they take, and that's it. I'm not trying to predict nothing. Like, I always go into the fight with this guy expecting a 3-round war. That's what my mind comes. My mind comes like to that cage to have a battle, a war for 3 rounds, for 15 minutes, or 5 rounds, doesn't matter. It depends on the type of fight it is. I always go with my mind set for the toughest test so far, and that's how I'm going to be inside of the cage with Sam Cecilia. I'm going to expect a 3-round war, but I also believe that, you know, again, my pressure is going to be a difference maker, and sooner or later in that fight, I'm going to make him crumble like I made with Derek, I made with Luca Vitali, I made with Daniel Crawford, I made with them all, you know. They felt my pressure, and I could see in some point of the fight that they will break. And I know I'm gonna find a breaking point on Sam Cecilia, and I'm gonna make him crumble.
Wow. I am very excited about this. I'm even more excited about it than I thought I was before I spoke to you. I was wondering, Pedro, like, is it a good time? Like, I know you've been in California now for the last while, but has it been good to be in SBG because everyone's preparing for that Dublin card as well? I'd say it's a good buzz to have everyone around you kind of directed towards one goal.
Oh yeah, it's been amazing, you know. Like we back in SPG, we are not a team, we are a family, you know. And it's been really good, you know. Like, everyone has been so supportive, you know. So there, and it's absolutely amazing that it was at this time of the year, you know, because there's a huge amount of athletes there preparing for the Dublin card, you know. So we are, it's basically, I will say, all the team, not all the team, but like half of the team is for the Dublin card. So half of the team is getting ready for like the fight. So the atmosphere, the environment is great, especially for me that I was also ready for a fight. So that was really the perfect occasion to have, you know. Because we were training for the same, we're all like in camp, so everything was perfect. It was by far the best camp that I ever had. Everything went perfect. I'm in the best shape of my life. My weight is perfect. Everything is on point, and I'm going to put the best performance off. It's going to be on. A win is going to be a dominant. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see a side fight.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in there. And I hope you'll come back on and speak to us soon when you can talk about who you got in the next round.
Yes, we talk about my win, we talk about the next round. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Pedro, and enjoy California.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you for having me again. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And we are back. Thank you very much to Mr. Pedro Carvalho. Looking forward to seeing how he goes against Sam Cecilia this weekend. I think that's a good matchup for him, to be honest, Sam Cecilia, because Sam likes to bang, and we've seen how devastating Pedro's power can be so far in this run that he's already on with Bellator. So very interesting
Sam's,
to see that.
Sam's a bit wild, isn't he? He's always been like that. You never know what you get from
him. Great fight, you know?
Yeah, he's a bit inconsistent, Sam. That was always the feeling I got when he was in the UFC and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a win, a loss, a couple of wins, a loss, that sort of record. So it is. It's a fight very winnable for Pedro, and I've been exceptionally impressed at his improvement and development over his last spot. Is he on four in a row in Bellator now? Something like that. He's on a...
three
in a row, but he's doing really well, and he's a guy who's, you know, we're claiming him. I know he's Portuguese, but like, he's training in Dublin, so he's ours.
Did you watch UFC Shenzhen last weekend?
I did.
History was made.
I did, of course I did. Yeah, I got up nice and early on, I stayed in Friday night after work, and I got up nice and early, nice and fresh, coffee on, and I watched the prelims all the way through. I didn't see the fight pass prelims now, but I watched all the rest of it. And listen, you know, off the bat, I got to say, for Weili Zhang, unbelievable performance. And I think it's great for the sport on a global level that we've a UFC champion now from China, especially after, you know, the money the UFC have put into that market with the PI and the UFC gyms there. It's a real sort of game changer. And it's only good things for the sport. There's going to be more eyes in the sport. It's going to develop now in China, and she's getting a lot of, obviously, traction from the comments on her Instagram from The Rock and Tom Brady and stuff like that, and Ronda Rousey. So, man, it really is a good thing. I was delighted in a certain way to see her win.
Is that a bit of WME kind of messing there with The Rock and all that?
Of course it is. Tom Brady's, Sean Shelby's first cousin, man. Of course it is. Sean gave him a ring. I was saying this to a couple of lads that I met out on Saturday night. A couple of lads that are big UFC fans, and we were chatting about that, and I mentioned, you know, Sean Shelby probably gave his cousin Tom a call, and I'll throw a comment on there in Weili Zhang's Instagram, and we'll get some traction behind it. But listen, nothing wrong with that in my opinion, and you know, I'm just delighted. And what a devastating performance, man. Unbelievable. Like, it was just, and like, it wasn't as if it was reckless, it was just calculated brute speed and aggression, man. Unbelievable finish. To finish a tough competitor like Jessica Andrade like that was sensational, man. I was seriously impressed with that performance. I don't think he couldn't have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the only way, like, the way I saw Zhang winning was via submission, and for her to do what she did, like, I mean,
we were texting about that. We went like, there is a good chance she's going to win here by submission. And then we were just like sort of flabbergasted, and we were texting back and forth after. It was, 45 seconds or something? Holy shit, man. And what about the fight before it as well? Like, the leech, man.
Oh, who tweeted us before that and going, like,
we were
like, stay
funny
on the Santos there, mate.
Yeah, it was a bit of a one. But what a performance from him, man, as well. Like, just really good. His boxing looked better, I think, than it's ever been. Really slick off the back foot as well. Pace and some really, really big shots. Tough dude. And another guy that's, you know, really popular in China as well. UFC.
The leech.
UFC could really put some more weight behind him in that market now with Weili Zhang becoming champion.
Yeah. Well, the thing with, like I feel bad for Zaliski dos Santos because, you know, you're on a 7-fight win streak and you have they send you to China to fight the leech. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
Jesus,
tough.
We think Leon Edwards is getting a raw deal, man. That is a raw deal, man. That's sick.
It is, man, and it's going to put people on further notice about that guy when he's taking out lads like that as well. That's a guy that's going to probably move up into the rankings now.
Yeah, did you watch Kai Kara France? You did. You were talking to me during that fight.
Yeah, really good fight. Really interesting, entertaining scrap to watch again. He always brings it, man. Really, really good. Probably the only thing I would have sort of taken from his performances, there was two opportunities there where he really could have finished the fight to put him away, and there was a little bit of hesitancy up against the cage when he was throwing some knees and shots, and I think that's maybe the only disappointment from him. But listen, what a fighter to watch, and I wonder if he can go right to the very top, because we obviously don't know what's going on with the flyweight still, but I wouldn't mind seeing him go to bantamweight. I think there's possibly more challenges there in a sort of a deeper division than what we have at flyweight at the moment. But yeah, no, exciting guy. Really, really good fight as well.
Kenan Song and Derek Kranz had a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
It was a messy one. Plenty of blood floating around there. And Mizuki Inoue got her first UFC win, obviously a legend of Japanese MMA. All very good. But I mean, it wasn't not a huge amount of talking points from the undercard. Like, did you see Ibrahimov's fight where he just came out like they just shot him out of a cannon?
Yeah.
And he completely wrecked himself then for the rest of the fight. That was an interesting one to watch.
It wasn't great. Like,
No, but it was just kind of spectacular in the sense that, like, what in the name of Jesus are we watching here?
Yeah, it was one of those.
Madergi got a win over Andrei Sukumtat, who broke his hand in the first round. And, I mean, Su did so well. He was brilliant. I really thought Sukumtat was going to have way too much for him. So that's a huge win. And, of course, the hand would have affected him there. Another guy I was impressed with was Demir Ismagulov against Thiago Moises. Really, really strong performance. Never looked in trouble. And Moises is very well regarded in his neck of the woods. And then Alatang and Baccarell with the fight of the night there. Very close fight. I thought Baccarell did enough, but there you go. It doesn't always happen. But interesting with you, Niall. Last week you were kind of talking. We kind of did a quick look over that Polaris card. And then these images of Paddy Pimblett come out.
Yeah, I said it last week.
Like his... I don't know if his knee's in a bad way, but... It certainly illustrates your point very well, doesn't it?
I think so, man. I was having a back and forth with Mike Rhodes about it when I put up that post about Paddy. You know, I wasn't a fan of these events taking place, especially when guys are fight booked like Stevie Ray. He's obviously taking on Michael Johnson. That could have been very easy the other way around.
Oh yeah.
And who knows? He could have been out of a fight. And it's as simple as that. Like, the UFC have to sort out something within these contracts to say you're not allowed to take part when you're... either fight booked or you're in fight camp, because it's just a fucking mess. Like, you know, it's, you know, Michael Johnson as well, if that fight was to fall through and they couldn't get an opponent, you know what I mean? Like, it's taking money out of someone else's pocket as well if they're not going to show up. It's a fucking mess. And I don't understand why it's not in their contracts already. Like, it seems like a no-brainer to me, no?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen it happen now I mean, we don't know how bad Paddy's knee is. You know, sometimes it feels terrible in that situation and it actually isn't that bad. So hopefully that's the case. But we have seen Brett Johns pulled from fights because of being heel hooked on events like Polaris and stuff. And the game is so heel hook heavy now. And heel hooks are
devastating injuries.
Like, it's so easy to injure someone's knee with a fucking heel hook. So it does feel like that definitely coloured your point quite a bit, I think, seeing what happened to Paddy at the weekend. But I think that's all we had last weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was.
It was a shallow enough weekend. Obviously, the main event there in China and the co-main were really good fights. But I think I just have to reiterate that point. I think it's exciting times for the UFC in China after Wei Li Zhang. And the UFC needs to really get behind her now with all this social media presence and promotion from world stars in the entertainment industry and the American football industry. It's cool.
I want to see her doing more cryptic tweets like she did at the start, where she's talking about like winds and whatever else it is, like forces of nature and stuff like that.
Scary woman she is.
Terrifying. Oh, what about the media? Actually, I don't know if you watch it, but I was covering.
What
the
was that about? Sorry, you know, that's like people should like that. Man, they need to start throwing out people when they ask questions like that. It's fucking weird.
You got a boyfriend now?
It's weird and freaky, man. Like what? Like what the fuck? Like, how do UFC are credentialing some of these geezers, man? It's unbelievable.
It's just funny that like she wins the world title, the biggest moment of her life, and this guy's question to her is, "Are you gonna get a boyfriend now?" Like she needed to get the belt.
It's just weird.
Now I can get out of my life.
you have to get the belt to get some bloody fucking. I better not say that, but like, do you know what I mean? She better get the belt to get a date. No, what are they on? Like, jeez, I would have literally if I was sitting in press row with that guy, I would have grabbed his head and just thrown him out. I would have thrown him out. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. What are you fucking talking about? Like, seriously. Like, how are they not ejected from the media room? It's just mental. I saw Guilherme tweeting about it and like, holy mother of God, man. I don't know.
Guilherme was messaging me at the time. So did he just fucking say?
Yeah, I was just like, what? What the fuck? I don't know. Weirdos around, man.
Yeah, we'll get on with our second interview of the day. It's Adam Barracks. He's taking on Pat Curran. So he's gone from taking on one of the biggest prospects in Bellator to one of the biggest legends, of the division, yeah, really, in two fights. So really great to speak to Adam again, and we'll be back again in about 10 minutes, guys.
And now we are joined by the man who toppled one of the biggest prospects in the world of MMA in his last outing. We have heard from the man before. It's Mr. Adam Barracks of Hungarian fame. And Adam, you have a huge fight lined up for this weekend against Pat Curran. My God, it's all happening for you. Tell me how excited you are about taking part in this featherweight tournament.
I am so excited, man. I am the most excited in my life.
What has the reaction been like to the Pico win? Because I can remember when we were speaking about the impact this could have in Hungary, where the sport is just taking off. You are probably the biggest poster boy for the sport in Hungary. What has the reaction been like over there?
You know, when I was younger, I had a dream. So I dream it and I do now. So just like this. I am so happy. I can live my dreams now.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now, did you know after you beat Aaron Pico that you would be in a good position to get into the featherweight tournament? Were you confident on the back of that win that Bellator would include you in that bracket?
Yeah, man. Yeah, because I have four fights, four finish. I was sure about I have to be in the tournament.
Yes, I agree with you completely. And I can tell you from the European side, a lot of people are very excited to see the inclusions of you and, of course, Pedro Carvalho, mm-hmm, who's also fighting that night. But how happy are you with Pat Curran? Because to me, it's amazing that you're going to fight, from going to fight a prospect to a veteran and a former champion. That's a big jump up in terms of experience. Are you happy with an opponent like Pat Curran?
Yeah, I am really happy for this matchup because, yeah, he's a former champion, you know. So he has been where I want to be there. So he has a lot of experience. It's a big fight for me. It's good because I have always even bigger fights. You know, everybody was talking about before Pico fights, oh, this is your biggest fight in your life, and now it's again, this is your biggest fight in your life. Yeah, but I want this, you know. I don't care about too much, just like, it's okay, I go in there and get that win. So, just this is my game plan.
Yes, and I'm sure there has been some people that are saying that maybe it was a fluke that you managed to beat Aaron Pico. This is a good way to silence those people, right? You're able to shut everybody up and say, this was no fluke. I'm just after beating a former champion.
Yeah. But I really respect him, you know, because he has a lot of experience. So I have to fight smart against him because he is a former champion, so he's a really tough guy. Just, I have to do what I can do the best.
Yes, of course. Did you see his last fight with AJ McKee? AJ McKee was criticized a little bit. I thought unfairly criticized because the fight went the distance. I believe that Curran is a very hard fighter to finish. Do you agree with me?
Yeah. And, you know, I saw that fight, but Pat Curran before that fight, he didn't fight like 1.5 years,
yes,
right? Or something like that. So it's okay. And it was a little bit boring fight. I never want to do that, but I have to smart too. So I have a game plan too. I have to follow that. So let's see. But yeah.
There's a lot of fights going on the same night you take on Pat. Obviously, one half of the featherweight bracket is going to be contested that night. You have Sam Cecilia versus Pedro Carvalho, Strauss v. Campos, Curran v. Barracks, and obviously Sanchez v. Claxton. I know that at the end of September, the other side of the bracket is going to be played out. But who do you think is your biggest challenge in the whole bracket? Who do you believe will be there at the end of this with you? Do you have someone in mind that will be a top contender in this featherweight bracket?
You know, I don't think too much about the final now. I have to focus on my next fight, but Of course, sometimes I'm thinking about, but I think this featherweight tournament, the final is going to be Adam Burch versus AJ McKee.
Wow, two of the biggest prospects. That would be amazing, right? That would. So you believe that...
Yeah. I think...
Go ahead, sorry.
No. Two undefeated guy, two young, hungry guy. So maybe the fans like it if it happens.
You know, Patricio Pitbull is taking on Juan Arculeta on September 28th. I think that is a really important fight. I believe that Arculeta is good enough to upset Patricio Pitbull, even though Patricio Pitbull is fantastic. He's a very underrated fighter. But do you feel like that could be a very pivotal clash in this tournament? Because I feel as though Arculeta is right there in the top contenders at featherweight.
My opinion is AJ McKee deserves the title shot because he has a 14 fights in a Bellator. So might be he's the next one. But we have other, like an Inukiva, right? After this chance.
Yes.
We chose each other, yeah. So we will see what's happening. But, Archuleta is, I think he's a 135 guy, not 145.
Yes, of course, yes.
I believe Pitbull will win, and after we will see what's happening. I really don't care if I get Pitbull in the next round, so just let's do it.
Yes, and I can remember Scott Coker spoke about this tournament. He said he didn't tell any of you who you were going to fight. You basically just said, yes, mm-hmm. I will fight in the tournament. Who were you hoping to get in the first round?
No, I didn't thinking about who is next, but I was happy for Pat Curran because it's a good matchup for me. He's a former champion, and I want to fight against a tough guy, and he is very tough. I think one of the toughest in this division. It's a good matchup for me. I want to fight against the tough guys.
Is it a hard fight to have in the first round because Pat is so durable and he's a veteran and, he tends to be able to take people the distance? Is that in your head that, 15-minute fight may not be the ideal thing in a tournament setting?
He's a counter fighter, and I think... in this fight, I have to be smart and calm, just move around and kick, punch, and keep the distance too. So because he has a lot of experience, so I have to be calm and smart. Don't rush, like throw, because I want to finish always the fight. So just keep calm now.
Are you? Did you think the win over Pico would give you an even bigger platform? Did you think with that win that even more people would know about you? I feel as though even though everybody is very excited about you, it should have made an even bigger splash. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, definitely. He is a very famous guy. He has a lot of hype still. And I saw on social media, I get a lot of followers, and not just from Hungary, from the US too. So I feel it, and I think now the people knows my name. But I told everybody before Pico's fight, after this fight, everybody will remember my name.
After Pat Curran, even more people, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You said right.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. You are one of the great prospects in MMA.
Thank you,
and I'm really looking forward to seeing you fight in this tournament. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much to Mr. Adam Burch. So let's take a look at the week ahead because it's a bit of a monster. There's a lot going on this weekend, as we know, Noiler. Where do we begin? Do you want to do... 2-4-2 first?
No, we leave the best to last.
Okay, all right. So we'll leave Cage Warriors to the last then, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we just talked to Adam and Pedro. So let's take a look at 226, first of all. The main event is going to be Ryan Bader versus Czech Congo. Can't really see too many bad situations there for Bader, can you?
No, the best heavyweight in the world, apparently, according to Scott Coker.
Yeah, I mean, that's not his fault.
Come on, get out of here. He's not. It's rubbish. That's a rubbish comment if I ever heard one.
I know. He's a promoter, isn't he? Like, he's doing the job he's meant to be doing.
Yeah, Steve ain't eat him. Steve ain't eat him for dinner. For breakfast, he'd eat him. Then he'd eat Congo for lunch, and he'd eat Daniel Cormier for dinner again. No, listen. There's no problems there. Ryan Bader's going to take him down, completely dominate him. Congo just is nowhere near the level he used to be a number of years ago when he was in the UFC. And I think that's an easy night's work for Ryan Bader. I don't foresee any problems from. I think it's going to be, maybe even get a submission or a finish in the deck as well. I think he's just going to wrestle him all over the cage, and no problems whatsoever.
Yeah, after like this fight, of course, then the featherweight tournament is really taking precedent here.
Is this the best thing Bellator have done in a number of years? I think it is, in terms of depth in what they have in their division there.
Yeah, the 16 fighters are really good. I like the fights as well. The fights are really competitive. Like, you're not looking at the first round going, well, he's going to beat him. You know, like, it is very competitive. Let's just take a look at that lineup there. Daniel Strauss v. Derek Campos.
Love it.
Pat Curran v. Adam Boric. Emmanuel Sanchez v. Tywin Claxton.
Ooh.
And then Sam Cecilia versus Pedro Carvalho. What fight is jumping out there for you? I have to say, I like Curran and Boric.
Yeah, I do. I like that fight. I think, it's another one, as you said there earlier on, it's a test for him against a legend of Bellator MMA and Pat Curran. Really good on the ground is Pat Curran, but you'd have to fancy Boric, a guy you've admired for quite some time, and I think that's the fight that probably stands out. It's a tougher test for him. It is. It's sort of a level up. And I like that, as you said, the matchmaking. There's little progressions there between the fights, and it's given these guys maybe a little bit of space and breathing room to show their skills and not pushing them too fast. I like the way they've matched this tournament up. It's really good. But I also am very interested to see Daniel Strauss, because that comeback fight was, the last couple of fights were absolutely sensational after that accident, getting told he was never going to walk again. You know, if he came back and won this tournament and ultimately, it will be probably one of the greatest stories in mixed martial arts history. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. It just shows the will, determination, this guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing him and Campos throw down as well. That's a really competitive fight.
Yeah. We might as well just kind of do some predictions here for just the featherweight tournament there. Just this leg of it, obviously, the rest, the other four fights are going to happen at the end of the month. So Strauss v. Campos, I'm firmly in Strauss's corner there. I think he's going to get that done. I like Boric against Curran just because Boric has got so much momentum at the moment, but I don't think that's an easy fight one bit.
If Curran gets you on the deck, man, you're in trouble. You really
he can
are.
Really grind a guy out. Yeah. Boric is having a tough old time with Pico until that flying knee as well. And I'd imagine Curran will be very wrestling heavy as well, like not looking to waste time at all, just take him down to the ground as quickly as possible. So that could be, like, I'm slightly leaning towards Boric, but I do think Curran's going to give him a hell of a fight. It could be very like the Pico incident. But the thing with Boric is he can just explode into power. Action and stop a fight. We've seen him doing it so often.
Definitely. Love it.
Which one are you going for there?
Boric. Too explosive. Boric, well. I think the power is going to get him. I think Pat Curran is a guy who's obviously, he's an older veteran of the sport. He's probably on his way down. But as you said, live underdog there. He gets you on the ground. Very grindy, very gritty. He can cause you a lot of problems. But as you said, I think the fact Boric has that explosiveness in his locker is going to be the difference here.
I think Sanchez's experience is getting the win over Claxton. And I have to say, I can't look past Carvalho against Cecilia. I really can't. I think that's, like, if I was picking the perfect opponent out of all those 16 fighters for Carvalho, I would have said Sam Cecilia.
Yeah. But again, Sam Cecilia is explosive in his own right as well. He can catch you.
Yeah, he is. On his night, he looks great. Yeah. That's what you were saying earlier. Like,
just inconsistent.
There was so many times where I thought, oh, so Sam's after turning the corner here. Yeah. He's going to go on to great things, and it just never came about. Kind of like Andre Feely before he
totally agree
what
with
he's
you.
Doing now,
Totally agree. He's very loose in the cage, and I think, the looseness probably is sometimes in his favor and sometimes against him in terms of, you know, when he goes out and he catches someone. It's because of that looseness. And also, on the other hand, you know, he can get sloppy at times. And I think that's where Pedro Carvalho is going to take the advantage here in this fight.
Yeah, also should be noted that Ashley Grimshaw is fighting on this card. He's taking on John Massapa. I think that's the curtain jerker of the whole card. So
the curtain jerker. The curtain jerker.
So keep an eye out for Grimshaw there early on that night. But of course, there is lots of fights happening on Saturday. And on Friday, even, we have Cage Warriors Unplugged 2. And it's another tournament. And it's a lovely little tournament as
Jesus,
well.
Jesus, PT, I forgot until you told me that.
Yeah,
my eyes have been so firmly fixed on UFC this weekend. I love the time of the UFC as well. Obviously, we'll talk about that in a while. But
yeah. This card's very interesting. Like, the bantamweight tournament is there. So Josh Reed v. Marko Kovacevic, Scott Malone v. Jack Cartwright. Both of these two fights are going to be contested over two rounds. If there's not a winner after the two rounds, it will go to a third round. Anton De Papp and Tanio Pagliariccio is the kind of the, what do they call it when it's not actually the standby fight or whatever,
swing bout.
Yeah, if someone gets injured or whatever, swing the winner bout of this fight is going to get involved.
Not a swing bout. What am I fucking talking about? Yeah. It's a substitute.
I was just trying to move on quickly because I knew that was wrong. But I think this is great because it's going to be played out that night. I mean, you're going to see the winner that night. And of course, when you think about that Cage Warriors bantamweight champion, the last three people who have held it have gone on to the UFC. That's Jack Shore, Nathaniel Wood, and Brett Johns. I believe they're the last three anyway. I cut up that arseways. Maybe Johns came a bit before Nathaniel. But look, there's lots of Irish interest here as well. You've got Ian Garry making his second ever performance as a professional, and he's taking on Martin Harris. Like, that is a hard fight for a 1-0 guy. Like, Harris has a 4-5 record, but look at the guys he's lost. They've all been very, very good. Like, I mean, this is a tough fight for Ian Garry. Like, you don't need to be fighting guys with 9 fights in your second professional fight, to be fair.
We've seen worse fights, though, in terms of, you know, lopsided matchmaking. It's a good test. It's a good step up. And I think Ian Garry's, you know,
I don't think it's sinful. Like, you know, I just think it's like, I'm just trying to highlight that it is a very, like, I mean, fair play to him.
Yeah,
on a very, very, very tough fight, you know?
Yeah, it's a step up. And I just hope everything goes off, obviously, with the incident the last time. Because obviously Ian was gutted after that when his opponent pulled out in the last fight. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Decky Macalina will try and get his first Cage Warriors win as a professional. We saw him. He's already fought. What am I talking about? He's already got a win in Cage Warriors. But he obviously came back. He fought Amiable there last time out. It was a very tough fight. Amiable was able to kind of
take him down
over the few rounds. So Tom Mearns should be an interesting one. Both guys 5-2. And there at the top, it's like Craig White coming back against Louis Glissman. And I just love this, the top there, Joe McColgan v. Mehdi Benlakhdar.
Yeah, it's
holy
a good fight.
Shit, man.
That is a good
that's
fight.
That's going to be an insane fight. That's two top-class strikers, man. That's guaranteed excitement, I promise you, man. That fight is going to be fucking outrageous.
Yeah.
I know it is.
We only obviously saw bits of Joe's fight in Italy the last time, but it looked impressive from what we saw on the stream that was put up on Twitter. But, yeah, listen, man, Joe's a great fighter. Looking forward to seeing him get back in there big time.
Who do you fancy for the bantamweight tournament? Out of those four guys, who do you think will come away with? I'm kind of looking at Reed and Malone are my two kind of favourites there, I have to say.
Yeah, Malone's the one that stood out to me, so I'd be putting a few quid on him if I was a betting man, which I'm not, Petey, as you know.
Absolutely not.
Nah, he's the one who's definitely impressed me. Obviously, that loss to, was it Jack Shore? So, you know, looking to bounce back from that, and I think he will. I think this is it's an interesting tournament, and I just hope we don't have any like fucking injury or something that ruins the night. I just hope it all goes off well, because obviously it's a big platform as well for Cage Warriors. So listen, great night of fights.
I think Brian Boulon is saying that he wants to fight the winner of this tournament in their first defense, so that would make a lot of sense too. Well, let's take a look at the big one. It's happening here.
Can't wait.
Beautiful Abu Dhabi.
Did you have a look at the sites yet? Did you see Anton when you're coming in? Or
literally got in and got something to eat, and now I'm doing this.
What did you eat?
I got a UFC burger.
What? Yeah, UFC burger.
Like, The whole fucking town seems to be gone UFC mad, to be honest. So they had a UFC burger was on special down there. So I said, yeah, I'll have one of those.
Have you been mobbed? Have you been mobbed by all your fans?
Ah, yeah. Fucking hell.
Women, I'd say women lining up at the door, are they? For a picture.
Oh, terrifying. Terrifying. I think they're all looking at me, just looking at me head of hair. So I was meant to get me hair cut. I thought, as I said,
curly
I
tops.
I thought I was leaving on Tuesday. So my barber was going to cut me hair Monday morning. And I was like, oh, sorry about that, mate. I'm gone.
I was laughing. So, I was laughing my arse off when you texted me last night. I'm going to Abu Dhabi in the morning. I was like, what? Fucking Egypt. Only so Carol.
They have the Turkish barbers over here, and they wax your whole face. So I might just do that for the crack.
Do it. You have to IG that now if you're doing that.
Yeah,
IG live.
My mate Lee, he works across on the military base there in Afghanistan. So he comes over here, say, on his down weeks or whatever, and he fucking knows the place inside out. So he was telling me, he's like, if they ask you to tidy up your face, say no, because it really hurts. And I was like, I know I have to say yes. So I will do that.
I think a mate of mine's there this week, Dara Connell. So look out for him.
I'll sign his, whatever he wants signed, tell him,
cool.
No problem.
Yeah.
I won't even charge him.
Cool.
But let's take a look at this card, man, because it feels like it already feels like there's something in the air here where it's a big card. We know how big Khabib is out here. Like he said himself, he's the reason that this is coming to town. He is huge here in this part of the world. Does he become an even bigger star on the back of this? Like we've talked about it, Conor McGregor in Ireland, Darren Till in Liverpool. I know that Khabib has already rose his profile to a level probably that surpassed them by the time they were having those fights in home terrain. And I know this isn't in Russia, but it's in a huge Muslim state here, and they are massive, massive Khabib Nurmagomedov fans. Do you think this is going to push him on to another level?
Yeah, I think he's on that level probably already. But yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. And as you said there, you know, it's Abu Dhabi seems to have gone UFC mad this week with whatever that's going on around fight. We've the Chilis in town. You know, we've a load of top-level UFC fighters, guest fighters in town. They seem to be fully embracing it, the government there as well. So it is, you know, it'll put him on a level where he's going to be probably a lot more appreciated around those sort of Muslim states. Maybe people who don't know him, it's giving them a light there. Abu Dhabi are showing it live across Arabic stations as well like that. So it is. It's a fucking big deal, man. But I just feel as though there is something in the air this week, as you said there. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
On Saturday, I was just thinking about it, sitting down, and as I said to you earlier on, I was chatting to a couple of lads who are big UFC fans, and they were asking me what I thought of the fight and things like that, and I just went, you know what? I don't know why, but I think something's in the air this week. I everything in my head is telling me that Khabib's going to win this fight, but I just have a feeling Dustin Poirier is going to catch him. I don't know why. I don't know where I'm getting that from. I just have this feeling something's going to go fucking haywire this week, whether it's some bloody main event fallout or something crazy. I just have that weird, weird, weird feeling. And normally something happens when you or I are in town as well, which I think sort of clips onto it. Every fight I ever seem to bloody go to, this feckin' carnage or something falls out. So you're there, you're the bad luck this week. Something's going down, brother. Something is going down.
When you look at the matchup, right, Nurmagomedov's wrestling, of course, right, he's brilliant, he's unbelievable. Once he's on top of you, you're fucked, basically. But one thing I really stuck out to me with Poirier and Holloway's fight was how good Poirier's jab is. And I
brilliant.
Think the jab is possibly one of the best weapons you can have against a guy who's going to be diving in on your legs. Because it's like, if he can consistently land his jab on Khabib as he's trying to come in, it's just going to make him very reluctant to shoot. By the third round, fourth round, if Poirier can consistently do that, it's going to be a striking bout by the third or fourth round, I'd imagine. And it's going to play completely into his hands.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. And I think as well as sort of an asset that, you know, Dustin Poirier maybe doesn't get an awful lot of credit for as well, as how fast he is on his feet and off the back foot. He's going to be very, very, very tough for Khabib to try and take him down in this fight. And, you know, maybe he doesn't get enough credit for his ground game as well. But, yeah, you do sort of look at this fight and you do think Habib is going to be able to get him to the ground and maybe look to maul him like he did against Conor McGregor. But if he does want to stand and bang, I think Conor's striking was so poor in that last fight against Habib. You know, he was obviously looked way, way off the pace from the Conor McGregor we've seen of old in terms of how good he was on his feet. And I think Dustin Poirier, if you look at his boxing, man, he's one of the best guys in there. And I don't think Habib's going to want to do that, stand on the feet, because look at Habib in that fight. If you watch it back, there is plenty of holes. And it was the same in Ali Aquinta. There was a lot of times there where if Al had thrown a jab and may have possibly gone for an overhand right, Habib tends to drop his left hand very, very low at times. And I think that's an area where Dustin Poirier may be able to, maybe could exploit. So, man, I don't know why. I just have this fucking crazy feeling, as I said, since last Saturday. Something just clicked in my brain or whatever happened. I think something mad's going to happen. I don't know why.
I'm still feeling it's going to be Khabib, but I do understand what you're saying. Like, I mean, I feel like because it's in Abu Dhabi, because so much of this is built around Khabib, I feel like a lot of people are thinking it's a given that Khabib wins. You know, I feel like everybody's just kind of saying it's just a formality nearly, and I think it's probably one of his toughest fights ever.
Yeah. And listen, to a certain extent, from the interviews we've heard with Khabib this week and last week coming into it, like, he actually sort of does seem to be overlooking him a little bit. And I'm not saying that, like, he's talked, you know.
No, he has. And I keep on going back to these quotes because I'm like,
Tony Ferguson is next to challenge me for the title. You know, you've Dustin Poirier on Saturday, man. You should be concentrating on him. And I'm sure he obviously is. But it just seems that there's something in his head, maybe, that he thinks he's just going to walk past Dustin Poirier and absolutely, you know, sail into the sunset with the UFC belt around his waist. And it's just not as simple as that. And I think Dustin's hungry, dude. I'll give him that. He's hungry.
You think Dustin's going to do it?
No, I'm still going to go with a B. No, I'm still going with a B, man. But I just think something mad's going to happen this week. I don't know whether it's going to be, you know, someone slips on a shower and sprains an ankle, the fight's off, something like that. I just have this weird feeling. All right, listen, you can throw eggs at me if something bad happens on Friday, but listen, it's going to be fun, it's going to be interesting, and I can't wait for that fight. But yeah, I do think it'd be, but listen, very much a live underdog in Dustin Poirier there.
Felder and Barbosa, it's been a long time since that first meeting. We had Paul on the show. I was just speaking to Edson Barbosa's jiu-jitsu coach in the elevator just moments ago.
Did you teach him the floating seal? Did you do some moves,
like,
on him?
Will you show me real quick? And I was like, listen, fuck off, I'm tired, man. Just get the fuck away from me. And he's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm in a bad mood too. Don't be embarrassed. And he's like, I'll try not to be. That's what happened.
But
Felder, this fight is huge for this card, because until this fight was really put in there, everybody was kind of going, this isn't great. And then the co-main event got added in, and everyone was like, well, now we're fucking talking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, but listen, it's a cracker.
Someone like Felder coming over from the US, like, he's a big name, he's a guy, like, commentator, very visible. I think he's added a lot to this card, and of course Edson Barbosa, come on. It's what it needed. It needed something a bit more main event, and this is it.
It's fireworks, man, this fight. Like, that first fight, I watched it back before we spoke to Paul there last week, and, man, that fight was just sensational. The amount of spinning attempts in that fight, like, I'd say 30, 40. It was unbelievable, that scrap. And I just hope we don't see any nut shots again, because that's one of the most vicious nut shots you'll ever see in the sport of mixed martial arts. And I'm really excited for this.
If that happens, I'll lose my fucking lunch.
Yeah.
If he gets hit bollock like that again, I won't be able to fucking hold down food.
Yeah, no, I was, like, sick nearly watching it, like, vomiting in my mouth. And it was just horrible. But listen, I think the whole dynamic of this fight, I'm looking forward to seeing the countdown show. I know they're out with Paul in Milwaukee, and, you know, this was Paul's first pro loss of his career. First loss, you know, in his whole mixed martial arts career, and including his amateur fights and stuff like that as well. He's a super competitive guy, and it's pissed him off so much. They obviously used to train together then after in Mark Henry's. There's a lot of narratives around this fight, and I don't think Paul ever felt fully accepted up there. I think he was just brought in as an aspiring partner, and there is, man, there's a lot of heat behind this fight. Probably people don't realise there is a big, big chip on Paul Felder's shoulder after losing that fight. And I think in terms of what Paul brings to the table this time compared to what he brought to the table the last time, is a totally different fighter. And you can totally see in that all he wanted to do in that last fight was just stand and bang. It was very much a striking contest. And I think Paul, as we saw against Ed, you know, Oliveira, he was defending terrible, precarious positions and got out of them. He's got so good up against the cage. And I think the area here where Paul's what I'm going to look to do is what Justin Gaethje did to Edson Barbosa. Close the distance, get on the inside, use those elbows, you know, short leg kicks as well to unsettle him. And ultimately, when he gets inside him, he's going to look for that chin in Edson Barbosa. And listen, Edson's boxing, man, it was very, very sloppy against Justin Gaethje, and that's where he got caught. And I think that's where Paul's going to try and aim to get him. But listen, those leg kicks that Edson Barbosa possesses are absolutely fucking insane. And I just think this fight has fireworks again written all over. But I actually think I'm going to go and pick Paul to win this fight. I think Edson's looked a bit chinny as well in his last number of fights. I think that's an area Paul can definitely take advantage of.
Yes, yes. Let's take a quick look through the rest of the card. We won't be able to get into them in quite that detail. But
what did you think? What do you think? I want your opinion on that fight as well.
Of Felder and Barbosa?
Yeah, it's a cracker.
I just feel it's very hard to look at that first fight and think it's going to be anything like
it. It's been nothing like it.
Like, I feel like Felder, what he's doing in the clinch might be even more difficult for people to deal with than his spinning things and that, you know, the stuff that he was known for when he first came into the UFC. I feel like when he gets a guy up against the cage and he has them in that plum, he's doing very, 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 very dangerous things that people, it's hard for them to deal with because we just don't see enough of the clinch anymore in MMA, especially that classic toy plum that he uses.
Yeah.
I think it's a very awkward situation. And look, if you think about it logically, Edson Barbosa needs a lot of space to do what he does. And that's where Paul used to fight, giving someone
that
space because he wanted to. Now if he's coming in really close and he's not giving Edson the space to pull off those kind of kicks, I feel like it's his fight to win if he can fight it in that range that we've seen him have great success with recently.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree.
Well, but let's take a quick look through the rest of the card. There's some nice fights. Like, I have to say, I'm glad to see Makhachev getting a decent fight. Javi Ramos is a good opponent. I haven't been happy with some of the fights Makhachev has gotten in the past.
Agreed.
Not that this is a hugely dramatic big step up, but I do think Javi Ramos is very, very good. He's brilliant on the ground. We know Makhachev wants to take him to the ground. So I think it's a very tricky fight for Islam this time, and I'm happy to see that, to be honest, man.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. A guy I'm high on, but as well, as you said, what was his last fight where he was a very underwhelming performance?
That was in Russia against a debutant. Like, I mean, you can't be putting Islam Chev against a debutant and claim that he's one of the best prospects at 55. He needs to be beating guys like Ramos to justify a kind of title like that.
Yeah,
he
was very, very underwhelming in that fight in Russia against Arman Tasurakan, I think you pronounce it. Wasn't impressed at all, and especially especially after that performance against Cajun Johnson, where he looked pretty good, and obviously the Gleison T-Bow one before that as well. Listen, it was a feckin' weird match, so I'm glad to see he's got something a little bit better this time, and I expect him to go out there and put on performance. I think it's time to shit or get off the pot for Makhachev. We've talked about him. He needs to go out and make a statement now here, I think, and I feel he's going to do it.
Agree. Curtis Blaydes takes on Shamil Abdurakhimov, but this is another one. Tyson Mofi Ferreira is a fucking brilliant fight.
Yeah.
That's a really, really cracker. Good fucking fight.
Cracker.
And like, I mean,
again though, it's one of those fights that we said, man. It's one for Tyson Mofi. He's been doing it for so long. Underwhelming in his last fight as well against Desmond Green, we have to say. Even though he did win that fight. I think it's time for him to really put a performance in there and start making that push towards that title, like he said he's wanted to do for the last number of years. And listen, a tough opponent in Cesar Ferreira, definitely.
No, it's Diego Ferreira.
Diego Ferreira. Jesus.
He's only after beating Khabalov there, so I mean, good fight that. Like,
yeah,
you know,
big time,
really,
man.
Good fight.
Really good scrap.
He's been on a good streak since that loss to Poirier, so it's a good fight. Lots of Russians here, by the way. Joanne Calderwood looks to bounce back from that very narrow loss to Chukagin against Andrea Lee. That's a good one for 125 for me. That's a very competitive fight. It's very far down the card for a fight that will have kind of a good, like, big implication on the division, really. I know neither of these girls are going to be getting a title shot, but it's still a big fight for that division as far as I'm concerned.
It's a really good fight in paper as well, man. Two really good girls on their feet, and I'm looking forward to that one. I think it's a potential outsider for fight of the night there. Definitely agree with you.
I think Laurent Murphy, he's got his debut obviously here against Tuk Hugov, but I feel like it's a good debut, even though Tuk Hugov is a tough assignment. Laurent's coming in with nothing to lose. Zubair, everybody's going to be expecting him to get a win here. So I think it's a good one. Liron coming in, just, you know, a bit of a sleeper there. He could come off and do something big. The man, I feel like he'll come into this week.
The man that Dana White said to never fight in the UFC again.
Yeah.
Didn't last long, did it? Hot take, Dana.
One of my prospects to watch in 2019 is making her debut. That's Liana Jojua. Jojua. I don't know how to pronounce her name because I've only ever watched her in Russian commentary, so I don't know. Sarah Maras, she's going to take on Sarah Maras with that even record of 5-5. I don't think that will look good against Liana. Liana is a savage. Timo Pakalan v. Ottoman Azatar. I know Ottoman is training with Khabib over there. He's with Khabib and all his team. And Miles Price got a good few rounds in him. Said he's a very tough guy, 11-0. So a big record to take in there. Belal Muhammad, shout out to that Instagram message he sent
brilliant.
Me in America. I think clowning on Paul Felder. Brilliant.
Absolutely quality. Funny dude he is. He's put up some great Instagram posts this week. So go check him out in the IG. Funny shit.
Got Nordin Tlaib, Muslim Salikov, Zach Cummins, Omari Akhmedov.
It's a good fight.
And then go on, talk about the boy.
Don Madge.
For that lad.
The magic man, yeah. Obviously, his original opponent pulled out of the fight due to personal reasons. It was, who was his original opponent supposed to be?
Magomed Mustaev.
Magomed Mustaev. It was a real shame because I think that probably would have been on the main. I think it was fifth on the main card before that. So that's a bit of a bummer for him. He's fighting Faras as he am. But Don Madge, man, this guy, you know, I followed his career since those days in EFC. Unbelievable fighter, really hot prospect. One of the best UFC debuts you'll ever see. Followed that up with another win. So yeah, definitely excited to watch him in there. And you know, everyone should have their eyes on this guy in the featherweight division. He's an absolute beast of a killer.
A beast of a killer.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's it. We've gone through three fucking cards for you, lads. And I'm very tired.
what time is it there?
It's 12:30 at night.
Jesus. I thought you were further ahead. I don't know why.
No, it's not too bad. 3 hours isn't too bad. I think that's manageable.
7:00.
Like, I mean, I'm here crying. I was on an 8-hour flight. I was just talking to Sean Al-Shadi before we started recording this. He's about to embark on a 23-hour journey to get here, like.
Holy shit.
That's fucking horrific. Like, and Esther and Casey are in Frankfurt now waiting to get their flight to here, which is another 6-hour flight. And
I thought you were on your own. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I don't have any equipment. Because no, I was like, well, what equipment do you have? And I was like, absolutely nothing.
Jesus Christ, you forgot Everton. But nah, listen.
Like, that's a great book about your life.
Ross O'Carroll Kelly.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm glad you've finally written an autobiography. Yeah. I like the way you've given yourself a different name, but I mean, really, really, you've told the truth throughout, and it's really accurate representation of you, I feel.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks. Yeah, the Irish team was announced today, so a couple of surprises. No, Devin. I wasn't. No, I've announced my competitive
bullshit.
I've announced my competitive retirement.
And then they go out and get hammered by England like a bunch of blouses, and they aren't even getting Noel McGrath on the team.
They did beat Wales the weekend, though, so you give them that.
I'd beat Wales by myself.
No, you wouldn't. Wales are good. Good ale cider, the Welsh, but it should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. The World Cup. It's in a few weeks' time. But yeah, it's starting soon, man. Jesus.
Is it not December? I thought it was December.
No. End of September. Start of October. Yeah. Yeah.
So what a confidence boost that is to get beaten by about 50 points to England ahead of a World Cup. That's amazing.
It's not great. But listen, we've loads of UFC to look forward to this weekend. 7:00 as well, Petey.
The main card's kicking off?
Main card kicks off at 7 here. I'm interested again. Obviously, it's pay-per-view on this side of the pond. I think it's, what, $23.95 on BT Sports. So I'm very interested to see what the numbers will be like. Not that they're going to give us the numbers, but the general interest seems pretty poor again. I put up a poll again, and I think it was like 10% said they were going to buy it. So I think there'll be a lot of illegal streaming going on Saturday night. I'm not encouraging that, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't think EBT Sport are going to change their stance on it, because once you've the subscription, if you think of it that way, you know, it's just an extra book for them if they put it on pay-per-view. So it doesn't matter what sort of numbers they do. It's still more money for them regardless, because you're paying for the subscription anyway in BT Sport.
The old double charge. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
It is, isn't it? But listen, what can we do? I'm looking forward to the fight card. Love the top two fights in the card. And I'm genuinely excited about it. It feels, we've had a couple of them recently and I like it. and I like it. I do. Exciting fights.
Is it a bit better? Like, I mean, is it a bit more understandable that it's happening at the time it's happening at and you're paying for it? Like, I feel like that's,
yeah,
that is like a bit better, like, than fucking, you know, waiting up till 6 a.m. to watch John Jones. Like, I mean, fucking hell.
Yeah, and I think that was just a bit crazy. I think, you know, over this side of the pond as well, that Habib's a bigger name than John Jones because of the whole Conor McGregor situation. And, you know, I said they should have done it with Nate Diaz if they were going to do a pay-per-view. They didn't have that card in pay-per-view, which is a bit funny to me, you know, with Nate Diaz being on it. Obviously, he's well-known for McGregor as well, a big, big draw in the sport. Probably more popular name than John Jones in many ways. So, interesting for me. Oh, and I think they will do better numbers this time. But I just find it weird that they don't release their numbers because they were, I'd say, about three people bought it the last time. That's probably the reason why.
And two of them were me and you, and yeah, all, of course.
That is it. So, you're going to be there live in the flesh anyway. I'm actually really jealous. I actually don't even want to talk to you anymore, Pete. I'm not jealous. Like, I'd love to be in Abu Dhabi. I'm pissed. I'm actually pissed off.
I'd love you to be here, too. I really would. But I'm glad I have Esther and Casey here, I have to say, because it can be fierce lonely, can't it, Noel?
Oh, can it? It can be a lonely, lonely world. It can be a lonely, lonely, lonely world. Eating on your own, drinking on your own. Yeah.
Esther and Casey, you're going to probably be like, when is Petey going to fuck off? Why is he always here? Just, hey, guys.
Hey, you guys. Be wrecking their head.
We're never going away with him again.
Here's the gooseberry. Here comes the gooseberry, the third wheel. Fucking hell. They'll end up adopting you, Petey.
Fingers crossed, man. I've moved to California in the morning.
Jesus, I tell you what, I'm fucking looking out that window now. I might fucking jump on a flight and come over. It's fucking miserable as fuck here. Holy God.
Shite. I've got like a lovely room, and they've got a couch here.
It does, it looks lovely.
So it's going to sort it out.
If you can only see it, people. If you can only see it, it looks beautiful. Right.
Living in the lap of luxury, you guys. But look, I'm going to go to bed, Noel. Thanks so much for sorting this all out for me. You're a fucking legend.
I know I am, yeah. I know I am. No worries. No, listen, enjoy the week. I'm looking forward to, obviously, all your coverage. Guys, go check out PT and shit and MMA fighting and full coverage all week. I hope you're doing commentary in the weigh-ins, yeah? You do it, will you?
Oh, yeah. I'd say I will be, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you better
get. I haven't done that before, so I'll probably be fucking shite at that. But yeah, I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, you have to. You can talk to me. I'll just abuse you on the YouTube page when you're down.
Okay. Yeah, do that.
Fucking prick.
Right. Noel, I'm getting into my bed. I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to get back, read more of your life story so I can learn about you even more.
Okay, you're not going to wrap up. You're not going to wrap up the fucking show, PT, for fuck's sake.
I always thought you were going
to
do it.
Do you want me to do it this week? All right, yeah, guys. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Enjoy UFC 242. Love yous all. Signing out. PT in Abu Dhabi. Niall McGrath in shithole, rainy Dublin, Ireland. Good luck and good night.